Log Talk Radio.
Tune in for an unconventional perspective on ancient wisdom and how it can change your life right now. I will tell you how to navigate this fast-changing world with the power of the gift you already have. Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Hoff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, starts now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Living Your Gifts, Ancient Applications for Modern Times. I'm your host, Susan Hoff, and I welcome you today and invite you to join me the second Wednesday of every month as we discuss topics to help you find your gifts and your community. In the Dogaras village, each person has many mothers, and it's not dependent on who gave you physical birth. In fact, each woman in the village is considered a mother, even if she has never been pregnant or birthed a child. Beyond the well-known phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, it takes many mothers to raise a child. Actually, both mothers and fathers, but we're talking about mothers here today. I am thrilled to not only have Dr. Pat again with us today, but to introduce you to one of my closest friends and one of my co-mothers of my children, Jennifer Hall. As well as one of the best intuitives I've ever met, Jennifer is a consultant who helps clients around the globe develop and recognize their intuition. She is the founder of You Know, author of the Runes Workshop, a You Know Intuition Workbox book, and has more than 130 audio downloads that give numerous ways to sensitize to and experience intuition and spirit. For more than 35 years, Jennifer has studied energy, ritual, and spirituality with many experts. She was initiated by and studied with Savant Kusume for 18 years, continues to explore energy medicine with and was ordained in 1997 by Reverend Rosalind Breer, and is trained as an advanced labyrinth facilitator by Dr. Reverend Lauren Artress. Welcome, Jennifer and Dr. Pat. I know I told this story, Dr. Pat, last month, but it's worth repeating for those who haven't heard it. When a stranger came to Sabonka's village, he asked her, "Can you get me your mother?" She was confused, and she didn't know how to answer because, to her, all of them were her mother. Sabonka had no knowledge what a biological mother who took precedence over the other women she also considered her mother. This is how children are raised in the Dogara tradition. All women are mothers and all men are fathers. Jennifer and I became mothers together before we met Sabonka. One of the reasons she even continued to come and teach us traditions is that we were already modeling a multi-parenting village. Jennifer, welcome, and please tell everyone how we did become mothers together.
Thank you for having me, Susan. It's good to be here. How we became mothers, there were a lot of different things that happened, but the first thing that happened was I saw you across the room and you were holding a three-month-old Branner. And he was so adorable, and we were in a huge workshop, and he was so quiet and sweet, and I just thought, oh, look at that cute blonde-haired woman with that pretty baby. And through a series of things that happened, he came over to sit by me, and I didn't know he was there, and I felt this huge, like a wake-up charge through my body, and I sat up, and I looked at this little guy sitting, and looked him in the eye, and I heard in my head, "You'll know this child for the rest of your life." And I thought, I don't even know this woman. I don't know where this information is coming from. I am not telling anybody this. I feel like a crazy person. But he was smiling. He's 3 months old, and Susan was holding him up. 6 months later, I went to visit some friends, of mutual friends of Susan and I, and they said, "Oh, you should give Susan a reading." And when I went to give her a reading, the thing that happened was she had lost two children at one point, and I saw both of those children at the age they would have been. And so mothering and children is what brought us together, but I didn't realize I was going to be a mother. I just, it just sort of happened because of me going there and doing the business together.
I don't think I knew it was going to happen either, although I think because of my grandmother living in my home my entire life, it probably opened me to feeling okay with other people parenting my children. Although at points, I'm sure we struggled with some of that because I think there's a struggle in co-parenting too. Dr. Pat, I don't know if you've ever had that happen also, but.
Look, I love how you started this out. I love how you started this out because I want to really emphasize this. There are many people that may be listening, and I will say this. In many women I work with, especially from the LGBTQ community. And if you know anything about women, the idea of mothering goes beyond actually delivering the child yourself. And I raised my brother for as long as I could until I got thrown out. And so I know what that's like. Did I know how to do that? Oopsie. I've mentored young women in a coming-of-age program, so I am so glad when you opened this up, both of y'all. I'm so, there's my southern stepmom coming through. I'm so glad you opened this up because women right now are instinctually in a mothering mode. What do you both think about that? Because if we weren't, would you even be doing this show today?
I think I would still probably be doing this show today.
Okay, wrong question.
Yeah, but because I do believe that we are lonely as mothers in this culture and that we need more people to influence our children and not to. I mean, the one beautiful thing that Jennifer always gave me is she could see more of my craziness, you know, and my over-attachment sometimes I had to the outcome of what my children should be in my mindset doing because I wanted to control it more. And she had a way of coming in and like looking at me like, okay, you're out of step, you know, or you might want to back off a little, Susan. Because I was more scared probably and fearful of the outcome of my parenting, which made me grasp it harder. And I would say that's true, wouldn't you, Jennifer, with us?
We had, especially with grades, you kind of got a little crazy with grades. And what was nice, the kids would know that they could call me, too, if I wasn't there, because I only lived there a week out of every month. So if I wasn't there and I could, you know, Susan was going off the rails about the grades, if I knew she was going
to. You're talking about school grades.
Yeah, school grades.
That are not, like... Right. Yeah. You're talking about you got your kids in school. They get a report card. Those things.
Yeah.
Got a hot flash from you just saying that.
But that was the main thing she would go crazy over, though.
I think it was my trigger, though. You know how you had your triggers from your childhood. My mother was a school teacher, and she was, and I really didn't like to take school too seriously, and that you knew that that had gotten in the way of some of my future decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Ashley would pretend she was stupid, it would throw me out. Mm-hmm. And she did that her junior year. She did that, and it was kind
of a lot of phone calls.
She got a lot of phone calls during that time. So, but it did take the pressure off of me. To have somebody, or not just Jennifer, I had other people that helped support me raising my children. We really knew how to do community without knowing how to do community. And I'm sure we failed quite often, but we also did give the children a different perspective, which I think is missing in our culture. I think we don't have that enough with our children anymore that they can run to the neighbor down the street and say, you know, what do you think about this? People are really threatened by different viewpoints or being, and with the COVID, I can't even imagine how hard it is right now to be a parent.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about this because, you know, today what we're talking about is the concept of mothering. And, you know, there's something interesting that the three of us share in common, and I think it's worth talking about. I remember this. I don't remember when it was, but I remember when Hillary Clinton came out and said it takes a village. I remember that. That was her thing. It wasn't the first time I heard it, but I didn't understand it till I, like you both, worked with a woman. Well, I'm getting choked up here. Sedonia Cahill. Both of them, I think, are having fun time together. Sabantu and Sedonia are having fun. I don't know about Sabantu, but I could tell you that Sedonia is probably smoking a little peyote.
Probably is not.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't understand it, but she demonstrated what it was to do that. So she never said, oh, let me teach you about mothering in village. She just did it. Did you have that same experience in learning it that way?
I mean, I think she just did it, but I think she also did teach us too. Don't you, Jennifer?
Well, I think it came about. Us mothering was when I was there, you know, you had to go and do something, and I would be there, and I would fix dinner, and I would be doing this, and they would get a gift or something. And Susan would say, oh, that's nice. And I'd say, get back. You're going to write a thank you note. And Susan would be like, and that's your thing. I'm not going to try to get them to do that. So I was intentionally doing things like that, or with the kids as well. You know, just I think your own upbringing comes into it. When we would be eating dinner, and the kids would say, I don't want that. That looks terrible. I'm like, you have to have a no thank you helping. And that you weren't doing beforehand. But the kids, they had to have one bite. That was a tradition in my household. And Susan was like, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And so it just sort of happened naturally, that kind of thing. And then later on, when Branner was actually recognizing and saying, this is Jennifer, my second mother, I think we started thinking and doing things on purpose, like with her daughter, which we would play good cop, bad cop. And so
she wanted a belly button ring in her, and you know, so I was like, no way. Usually Jennifer,
we planned that.
We had to find something. I mean, I think we kind of knew intuitively, find something you want to argue with your child about that's safe,
mm-hmm.
that they can win
mm-hmm.
at. So we knew we wanted Ashley, you know, to have, she was at that age. I mean, believe me, she still did whatever, and, you know, she was a typical teenager, but we wanted her to feel like she had some control over what happened too. So Jennifer was like, Susan, I think you're being ridiculous about this belly button ring. And really, I didn't care that much, you know. And I was like, well, I'm not going, you know. And it was this back and forth, and I don't know, I think we carried it on for a long time, didn't we?
We did it for about, I mean, a good 4 months, because we decided she needed to rebel against something. And I was always bad cop in the other scenarios, always. And so for Susan to be bad cop in this and me to be good cop, it was kind of fun. And we would laugh after the kids would go to bed. We would talk about it and laugh. I think it's working. She's really mad. And then when she got the belly button ring, though, Susan went in with her, and it was really a victory. I mean, she really felt good about herself. This was something that really gave her, like, okay, she had to come up with the reasons why this would be an okay idea at this age. You know, she had to really think about it, and I think that it pushed her to do that, and then she felt good about herself. And she knows the story now. That's the only reason we're telling it, because I said, Susan, any story we tell about the kids, we need their permission first, so she does know that this story is being
told. And she was not happy that we had, like, arranged this whole thing. She was like, what? You planned that? Like, she's like, I had no clue that you all had planned this whole scenario of what to do. And I do think there's something about kids needing to feel like they won, they needing to feel like they have some power over their lives, and I think when you have more mothers helping you figure that out, you're not so alone in trying. There's no way you can play good and bad together. It's by yourself. It's too difficult, you know.
I did not tell her till she was 20.